Okay, Rav Sagan. We left off with the famous question of Tosfos. Dibra Maschel Achvei Rav Nasan and Dav Chesam Beis. How come we find that you force people to give tzedakah? You don't force everyone to give tzedakah, only Ba'amid, only someone's rich enough. But if based on someone's income, they should be giving tzedakah and they don't, you force them to give tzedakah. That's why, how did this come up in our Gemara? That's why we consider it a srara to collect tzedakah. And that's a story that Rava, I think, forced Rav Nasan to give Rav Nasan Bar Ami to give tzedakah. Tosfos says, Yom Tomar, doesn't it say in Chulin, Daf Kuf Yud, that any mitzvah asei shmat mischar betzida, ein bezer shalmatim is hard allowed. There's a case there that bezer were trying to force someone to keep it up a aim, and then they said, no, you don't have to force him. You don't force him to keep it up a aim because it says matan schar betzida. Kabbis seviyach v'asei mecha l'man yarichun yamecha. So by tzedakah, it also says matan schar betzida. It says kipasoch l'tachzi yad chalo, etc. Keeping lal hadavar zei v'arecha shem lokecha b'chol ma'asecha b'chol mishlach yodecha. So we have a number of answers. The first answer, the most radical answer, is Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam gives two answers, but they're both the same answer. Says Rabbeinu Tam, you really don't force people to give tzedakah. That is the Das Yachid of Rabbeinu Tam. We pointed out that one of the earliest French Rishonim, Rabbi Yosef Tov Elam and the Mordechai, also held that. But that's the day of Rabbeinu Tam, that you don't actually force someone to give tzedakah. If you don't force someone to give tzedakah, what does it mean that you force someone in our Gemara? So Rabbeinu Tam has two answers. His first answer is, kfiya bidvarim. No, you browbeat them, but you don't actually force them. It's an interesting kiddush. That browbeating someone is called srara, right? According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's a very low standard of srara. Even if you can't force someone, but you can, you know, give them a guilty conscience. And you could yell at them. That's called srara. But you don't actually force someone to give tzedakah. Rabbeinu Tam's second answer, Amar Rabbeinu Tam, here's the first answer again. The hekfiya bidbarim, kamo, kafi, va'al, beperk narishes pato. Okay, the case of narishes is pato, where it was just, you know, someone gave social pressure to go into a certain marriage room where they were negotiating a marriage. Va'otiritz, Rabbeinu Tam's second answer, is the same principles as first. The hacha kiblo aleim sheyikufo son of gabai. Here, they already accepted upon themselves in advance that the gabai should force them. Okay, if they accept upon themselves in advance, then obviously you can force them. You're not forcing them to do the mitzvah. You're forcing them to keep their own commitments. Once someone commits that, then of course, once someone says you're allowed to force them, meaning what's the assumption? That the whole town got together and said, look, this is how we're going to do the tzedakah. Everyone's going to give this much. If we all agree that we make an agreement between us, a binding agreement between us, the gabbai can force us. Okay, so that's basically just collecting a debt. It's not really giving tzedakah. It's not kfi on tzedakah. It's kfi on a pre-existing debt. And then again, the Rabbeinu Tam would have to say, probably it's only called srara. Maybe, I don't know. Is that why it's called srara? Maybe it's just called srara to collect money. Okay, we'll leave that for now. Let's just go through this question, right? What's the question? Tosfos, the kusha of Tosfos is matan schara b'tzida. The first two answers are saying there's not really kfi in tzedakah.
Board, Ravna, Asaf, the board is top of the board. We don't see it.
Okay. Rabbi Nutam and Rav Yosef Tov Elam, if you let me abbreviate him, say Fia bidvarim, or Rabbeinu Tam says in his second answer, he makes it okinta. The okinta is, what's his lashon here? His lashon is, kiblu aleihem sheyakufu osan hagabai. Kiblu aleihem sheyakufu osan hagabai. What do these two videos have in common? That there's no fia on tzedakah. Okay, now comes the Ri and the Ritzbah. The Ri and the Ritzbah say there is Kfi in tzedakah. But how do you deal with the problem of Matan Schar B'Tzida? And the answer is that, okay, within the rules of Matan Schar B'Tzida, there's a technical answer where you can justify Kfi. Starts the Ri, and V'Omer Ri, Sorry, where are we? Ulrin, they read the Mitzvah, and Kobe Shem, they say, Lav, the Sibah, Lo Samitz, Lavav, and Lo Sikbats. What is going to say? Kol Matan, Gomitz, Sasei, Shematan, Skar, Vitzida, and Ko, and Bezah, Shematan, Mishar, and Aleha. Meaning Bezah, Shematan doesn't force. What does it mean? Hashem says, do this Mitzvah, here's your Skar. Means Hashem enforces it from the Skar. You want to get, do keep it up, and you'll get long life. If you don't do keep it up, and you'll get short life. And that's enough, Mikfiyah. Bezah doesn't need to enforce it. You want to get a brach in your business, give tzedakah. You don't want to give tzedakah because you'll fail in your business. That's the Hashem doesn't want us to be kofa. Hashem gives the incentive himself. Okay, says the Reed, that's only rule of mitzvahs asay. But in a lav, there's no such rule. And therefore, in a lav, we're kofa even if in a lav, we're kofa even though I'm star bitzida. So says the Reed, what category does the Reed fit into? He would say, there is kfiyah, but within the regular framework of mitzvah saseh shemat nesor betzida. You fit it into the regular framework. The first answer, this would be the Reem. It says the Reem, kofin mishom halav. Okay, here it's an interesting question. Why, meaning, yes?
The people who argue on the read, is it like, I should assume that stuff has a lot of not together?
Good question, okay. So, it's obvious there's a lot. I don't think you can deny the lot. What does it say? It says, the Gemara says, he might say, v'chavi, achad achacha, v'yachad sherecha, v'yad z'kasha, v'shem l'kecha. No. What?
No.
Right. Okay. When is a poor person? That's how it starts. You may not harden your heart or clench your fist, close your hand from giving to your poor brethren. Then comes the essay. Rather, you should open your hand to him. Etc. Son titain lo, etc. It's incontrovertible that there's a lav. There's definitely a lav to refrain from giving tzedakah. So why doesn't everyone agree with the re? So here is an interesting question: why everyone doesn't agree with the re? I can think of a lot of answers. The Rav here deals with it. He gives two answers. In this nice piece of the Rav, again, this just one small piece of his essay in Tzedakah that comes up totally agav orcha in Bava Kamma. There's just chelak ches, but within chelak ches, chelak gimel of chelak ches, beis of chelak ches, he gives two reasons. Either number one, he said the lav is tufel to the essay. When you have a lav and an essay, there's a lump. Basically, this ties into many, many lumbuses. The Rav said, whenever you have a lav and an essay, the lav is tufel to the essay. Okay, that has to do with many issues, right? If a woman is potter from certain mitzvahs, I say, let's say Zman Grama, et cetera, and the Havmina, they had other ones, she also potter from the Lav. So his first answer is the Lav is toughful to the essay. So wherever goes the essay, so goes the Lav. You can't view the Lav as independent. His second answer is that maybe the lav is only when the ani is in front of you. And in this case of Rav and Rav Nassim, the ani wasn't there, just Rava was telling him to give tzedakah. And therefore the lav didn't apply. Okay, that was the Rav's two answers. Either the lav is tough of the essay, or the lav is only when the ani is in front of you. And here Rava was collecting, but the ani wasn't in front of him. Okay, yesh l'ayin a lot in that. There's a shliach of an ani counts an ani. Well, okay. Because Rav assumes that the gabbai doesn't count as a nadi. I thought the most pasha way is just that the other Rishonim would think that Gemara and Kulin's lav dafka. It doesn't mean only Nasei Shema and Skar Betzida. A lav Shema and Skar Betzida is also in Kofin. And the lav is also not in Skar Betzida. It's all one paragraph. Maybe.
Or even when there's a lav, you can still force it off.
But why can't you force it not to violate the lav?
Because there is an asse that has a chavetzida and a chavetzida that can get involved.
Okay, but the Reed would say, but you can still force him to the lav. Why? Sorry, to not violate a lav. Can't I force someone to not violate a lav? Okay. I think you might end up saying the same with different words. Anyway, Kitzer, if you want to know why others disagree with the Reed, you know what? We have some reference of some of the color.
Right.
It's an interesting question, just because, see, was it you who came over to me and discussed this during Seder? This just, it's a total side point, but Lama Shar Rishonim Lotir Tsukach, if I can change the order a little, I could say Aleph, maybe Gam Lav, Gam Matan Skara Bitsida. Ain kofin, a lav, or bais, says the Rav, that the lav, he doesn't use this words, but the lav is tuffle to the assay. Whenever you have an assay with a lav, what are you going to say with a lav? Obviously, I don't mean like the Rav says, don't do work on Shabbos and rest on Shabbos. That's like an assay that's tuffle to the lav. I mean, when the assay says to do something, the lav says don't refrain from doing it. Right? Don't neglect.
Asaf, your blackboard on the left is not seen. You have to move your camera back a little bit.
If someone rearranged the furniture. Okay.
Hopefully that will do it. He said the law is tough to the essay, and therefore, since you don't force the essay, you don't force the law. Or says the Rav that the law was not Shaya in Rav Nassan Bar Ami. He, Ani, the Ani wasn't there. Or, this is what Svi pointed out, that it could be, and this is a very fascinating lumnus in Kultur Kula, I brought the sheet of the Ramach, it is a Golos on the Rambam, it's printed in the Frankel Rambams, you might have seen it once or twice, very, very chotel, often quoted by the Kesem Mishnah, this one happens not to be, that the Rambam says, whoever eats matzah on Erev Pesach violates a lav d'rabbanan, right? Kol ochel matzah Erev Pesach is like Bolar Sasa Pesachana, which is also an Issur d'rabbanan Pashtus, according to 99% of Rishonim. So he says, Makadus or Makas Marasas, a Tate Anshit Tate say, Nafsho. And the Ramah says, why do you give someone Malkos if he eats Matzah or Pesach? Look at that, the time of mind. Bechila Acher Shachal Makadus. So after he eats, do you give Malkos for Nisr Rabbanan? Maybe the Ramah holds yes. He says, you don't give Malkos for Nisr Rabbanan, you don't give Malkos for Nisr Doraisa. A few times they should Ochal Ritzon Alomrach. And even if you say, it doesn't mean after he eats, it means before he eats. If he's going to eat, you give Malkos until he agrees not to eat. To me, Allah, and I hope he said, "Chad lavi yisurd rabbanim, if you look yisurd araisim, yisur lavi near lakoso, kilo matzanik yim yisur asek yon asek suk veinu osev yishtam v'dar v'shein limo dish lavi yisur asek." Fascinating, says the Ramach. He says, we know we force one to do a mitzvah say. That's a Tosa story. You force one to do a mitzvah say, but not if it's matan star v'tzida. But normally, you force one to do a mitzvah say. If someone says, I won't sit in the sukkah, you beat them up till they agree to sit in the sukkah or die. If someone says, I won't take a lulav, you beat them up until they agree to shake a lulav or die. You force someone to do a mitzvah say. That's not a punishment. That is coercion. Right? You force someone to do a mitzvah say. Says many poskim. And likewise, you force someone to not do a losas. If someone says, I'm eating a cheeseburger, you beat them up until they agree not to eat the cheeseburger. Says the Ramach, no, not true. Only force a face. You're never kofan losas. Meaning losasas be punished afterwards. But you never kofa beforehand to make someone keep a losasah. This is a big machlokes aposkim, the achronim mostly talk about all over the place. And again, this is the minority opinion, but still it could be maybe this one of the reasons why some of the Rishonim didn't say like the Reed. Because maybe they hold like the Ramach that there is no kfiya on a lav. On a lav, there's omesh afterwards. On some lav. Right, only if it's teachable mindset, only if it's et cetera, et cetera. But there's no kfiya on a lav. There's only kfiya on an assay. This is a fascinating issue, which has to do with, really, the Megillus Esther brings this up. The Megillus Esther, we're in the Shrushim to the Sefer HaMitzvot, says, we find an assay is more harmful than a lav. because you're kofes someone to beat them up till they do an assay. You don't beat them up till they keep a lot. You only give them malchus afterwards, and only a limited number. And this has to do with the famous question, which is not our topic at all now, but we discussed many years ago in Yevamos. I don't know, you have to be a senior citizen to have been here for Yevamos. What's more chamer, an assay or a lav? What do we normally think? What's more chamer, an assay or a lav, Moshe? Well, a lav is more chamer. Why? Because you get malchus, right? You have the worst punishment. On the other hand, why might you think an assay is more chamer? Assay dochelos assay. Okay, that's the big $64,000 question, as they used to say back when $64,000 was a lot of money. That's the $64,000 question. What's more chamer, an assay or a lav? Basically, do you say an assay is more chamer after all? It's dochelos assay. Oh, why you don't get an onesh? You just don't get an onesh because technically you have to be a maisa to get an onesh, and when you don't do an assay, you're not doing maisa. Or do you say, no, of course a lav is more chamer than an assay, which is actually a Mefur's line we don't want any. The question is whether it's only less gun or not. Is it not saying it's not for some other reason? Okay, we're not getting that. So now this ties into the whole question of you feed someone up indefinitely until they agree to do an assay. Right? Again, no limit of 40, et cetera. Do you also beat someone up until they agree to keep a lav? So again, that might depend on whether a lav is more chamer than assay or not. So it could be that al pi shitas haramach, right, which is what Tzvi was suggesting, that ein kfiya bichlal al lavim. Maybe there's no kfiya al lavim, and therefore that could be why some Rishonim disagree with the Ri. There is no such thing as kfiya on a lav. There was nothing to talk about. Okay, interesting, fascinating question tied into a lot of shasugyas, which we're not discussing now. Let's get back to our regular scheduled programming.
Can you say that there are Pesach that why you're not supposed to eat, but it's to generate the hunger and an element of us, say, to make yourself hungry?
That is a fascinating.
Someone who struggles with meaning, a diet can understand.
I understand what you're saying is really the Isser of eating matzah and Erev Pesach is part of this assay of eating matzah and Pesach, so it's really kfiya on an assay. Maybe you could. That's an interesting. That's a very fascinating point. But again, that's not our main sugya now. So we're not going to discuss that. It's a great question. We're just not getting into it now. Okay, let us continue in Tosfos. Says Tosfos, the Ritzvah. Tosfos not done. Four answers in this Tosfos. Nearer the Hadim Bezim was hard in this station on Scarbatina, Ding Den, Noshim, Chimash, Shalmi, etc. Says the Ritzvah, we misunderstood the whole rule. Says the Ritzvah. Billy, you are kofa even on mitzvah shishman schar betzida. What did it mean? It just meant bezin doesn't have to be kofa. Kfi is optional. Bezin has to be kofa on shofar and sukkah and lula. On kibbut of aim and tzedakah, which have mitzvah schar betzida, bezin doesn't have to be kofa. It's optional to be kofa. And that's all they meant in chulin. This is a big, big chiddush. It sounded chulin like you shouldn't be kofa. That's the chiddush there. But he says, mutter likfos. Al mitzvahs asay shematin skara bitzida. That's even they're not nenoshim. Bezdin's not held accountable. They're not guilty even of vera if they're not kofa. But it's optional. You're allowed to be kofa. Just they don't have to be kofa. In which case, there's no problem. You don't have to be kofa. You're allowed to. And Rabbi decided that he would. Okay. There's some more technical answers. The Minchas Chinuch gives another technical answer. Says Minchas Chinuch, the premise of the question is wrong, right? Every question has two premises, right?
Right.
Aristotle loves to tell you how to analyze these things. Every question has two premises. Number one, there's a rule that mitzvah seishma and star betzida ain't kofanola. The Ritzvah question, the Ritzvah rejected that premise. Says, no, the rule is not ain't kofanola. It's just that ain't chayav. You don't have to be kofa, but you can. And the second premise, the minor premise, right, is that tzedakah is a seishmat and svarah betzida. Which is what it sounds like the foot. All the Balei Tosfos agrees. It says, "Ki b'gvul adver zeh yivrech Hashem elokecha b'chol ma'asecha b'chol mishloach yadecha." Sounds like a big matan schar to me. Says the chasidim, if you all misunderstood, it's not matan svarah betzida. Oh, it says matan schara. The matan schar is not for tzedakah. The matan schar is for something else. What? That's something else.
Let me round the book.
Exactly. What did the pasuk say? He said, no, read the whole pasuk. Don't read with the gomers. Nasa tite lo. And we read until now, dot, 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 keep it called the varazah. Okay. Meaning, nasa tite lo, parentheses, give it lo, yiral, vav, kub, sikha lo. Don't do it in a bad-hearted way. Close parentheses, keep it called the varazah. Says the Mishnah, don't put parentheses. You have no right to put parentheses in the Chumash. Rather, nasa tite lo, semicolon. But don't do it with a scowl, right? Don't do it with a bad attitude. Keep it glad for that because in exchange, in reward for having a good attitude, for smiling at the ani when you give them tzedakah, you are recha Hashem Elokecha, right? This is, people are often nichshol in this, right? We better hope that all the tzedakah collectors in the Kotel are fakers. Because otherwise, we're in trouble because a lot of people give them, but a lot of people give them with raw leva, the sickle. They give them with a scowl. You know, another guy, leave me alone. So it's really, it's a din d'oraisa. Lachora, maybe they're not fakers. Yeah, you don't want to do it as a d'oraisa. So you have to smile and be nice to them when you give them money at the hotel. I mean, and everywhere else. But everywhere else, the new science is a little easier. Says the Menchas Chinuch, the reward is not for giving tzedakah. The reward is for smiling when you give tzedakah. And therefore, tzedakah has no matan schar. Okay, deny the premise. And I found that even though the Menchas Chinuch invented this, Lulay Divrei was saying, if not for the fact that all the Rishonim held this, I found that, you know, Baruch Shekibin Ladas Gedolim, that not all the Rishonim held this. One Rishonim said before, it's like the Menchas Chinuch, who's just a Rishon that he didn't have. The Sefer Yikarim. Sefer Yikarim, it's a philosophy book, so maybe you didn't, he wasn't checking there. Nemar Mamar Shenim, Sefer Midos Laristo, right? He quotes from the second book of the Nicomachean Ethics of Aristotle. Ki ha nadiv shiasa polon divas u samech polo yikar maila vimi falevi tzom and yikar pachisas. Okay, we'll have to come back to this. This is going to be very important in Londos. But you know, Aristotle likes to talk about vices and virtues. Most of us probably don't know much Aristotle. I mean, we've heard, you know, virtue ethics that, you know, some things the Rambam quotes, the Shmona Prakim, etc., and Hilchos Deos. Aristotle was very into having good midos. Right? For Aristotle, the Ikar was the good midos. That's why Kant didn't like Aristotle, because Aristotle thought, right? Aristotle was like a Balmusser, who thought that the Ikar of ethics is doing things out of good midos. And Kant was a litvak who thought that it wasn't ethical at all to do things out of good midos. That's just living your own personality. It's only ethical to do things because there's a rule that you should do it. Aristotle was a Balmusser and Kant was a litvak. What does Aristotle say? He says, how do you get good midos? If you do a good deed happily, that inculcates a virtue in you. It improves your midos. If you do a mitzvah resentfully, then that creates a vice. That ruins your midos. Because your midos don't just depend on what you do. Your midos depend on your attitude towards doing it. Okay, I mean, that's, you don't need Aristotle for this. I think that's common sense also. And what is the Sefer Yikarim right, Aristotle? The pasuk doesn't reward you for doing tzedakah. It only rewards you for doing tzedakah b'simcha, for feeling good about it. That there's no reward for giving tzedakah. There's only reward for being happy to give tzedakah, for lo yirah levavcha. Okay, so that is the Minchas Chinuch and the Sefer HaIkarim. That is the Minchas Chinuch and the Sefer HaIkarim. Both say that ein matan schar al tzedakah ela al Tovas Halev Vinstinasa, right? The tzedakah is just a background. The Matan Schar is for your attitude, not for giving tzedakah. And that's why the question never gets off the ground. Interestingly, I noticed then who else holds that there's no matan star for tzedakah, and that's not what the pasuk, and the pasuk doesn't mean there's matan star for tzedakah? The which Ramban?
Sefer
mitzvah shichas halavim. What does the Ramban say? Well, okay, I'm glad I asked that question.
It's good to ask open-ended questions. You never know what answers you'll get. Anyone? Here we are.
In shichas halavim, shichas halavim yud zayin. What? Okay, says the Ramban is shichas halavim, meaning right at the end of the essays of the Rambam, say, for instance, the end of the Lavin, he writes the one the Rambam forgot. And connected that, he crosses out as he goes. So he keeps the right number. Says the Ramban, Sheninanu gam ken shlo yichalanu be titenu tzedakalaniyim, velo nitzen osale ba'ayin ra, we shouldn't be upset and scowl when we give the aniyim, but not shlo miyablanu, and think we're losing money. Well, yezabenu schar tozu, we should be happy and realize that we're benefiting. Because he's going to give it all back to us twice. Lucian Omar, Nasim Lo Yalu Chis Valoki, but all the way records on the Gomeshlakadecha. I'm not convinced at all. I'm not convinced at all. Yes, he counts a lav of not feeling bad about giving tzedakah and connects that to a schar, but I don't think he's saying what you say he's saying at all. Because what does he say? He says,
what is Hashem al Kaka work?
He no, but it's like this. He says, you shouldn't feel bad and give tzedakah. Rather, you should be happy to give tzedakah. Why should you be happy to give tzedakah? You should be happy to give tzedakah. Interestingly, this Ramban seems to be not a bin adon l'chavir Ramban. This seems to be a bin adon l'makom Ramban. Meaning he could have said, you shouldn't give tzedakah resentfully. Oh, this is very fascinating philosophically. You shouldn't give tzedakah resentfully. Rather, you should give tzedakah happily because it's so wonderful to help someone. And isn't it much nicer to help someone than to hoard money for yourself? You know, ein simcha like being sameach aniyim. That's not what he says at all. He says, you should, I assume he agrees to that, but he doesn't think that the content of this law. He says, what's the law? You shouldn't feel like you're losing money giving tzedakah. Rather, you should be talking to Hashem and realize you're making money by giving tzedakah because Hashem pays you back double. And therefore, this is all a bitachon Ramban. You shouldn't give tzedakah thinking you're losing money. Rather, you should give tzedakah thinking that you are making money. You are investing, and this is a better investment than Bitcoin. Because it's for sure going to pay you back double, and I don't know what Bitcoin's going to do, but it's definitely not for sure going to do anything. And then what does he say? The proof is, keep it Valdemar is that. But most of think about what the Ramban saying. The lav is not to think you're losing money, but to remember that you're making money because Hashem pays back to Dukkah double. Because it says, the Valdemar is that, Yivrecha, Hashem Okecha, Uchom Asef, Uchom Mishlach Yedecha. Think of the Seder Advar. The lav is not to think you're losing money, rather you're making money. Why? Because Hashem pays back to Dukkah double. But the simple shot is, you can make it fancier, that giving tzedakah has the reward of Hashem paying back double. And therefore, the lav is not to forget the reward of tzedakah, but to remember the reward of tzedakah. But he doesn't say you'll only get rewarded if you give it with a good attitude. He says you have to remember that Hashem pays back tzedakah double. It sounds like the tzedakah itself gets the matan schar. So I disagree with you, read the Ramban. Who am I claiming is on the side of this minchas chinuch tzeifer ikarim, but not in the exact same way? The Rambam. The Rambam clearly does not say like Rav Tam. He thinks you're mamish kof on tzedakah, which is not such a big kiddush. That's just shot in the Gemara, right? The Rambam in Hilchos Matnos Aniyim says explicitly, just like Pashup Shat, like Pashup Shat in the Gemara, he says, etc. We'll come back to Rama. Okay, that's not very mechudish. He just quotes Pashup Shat of our Gemara and adds the Rambam, Pirush from Shnayis and Ksubas, V'dashi Yishalayim Lokav Zodom Matan Tzedakah. Why? L'vizhu Mechlal Mitzvah Seh. Why are you kofa Mitzvah Tzedakah like every other Mitzvah Seh? Shechov lahat sa'adam shebikayim also mitzvah say shechol lav chiyos yosef also esot shigamas is debechlal kol mitzvah say. What does the Rambam say? You're called on tzedakah just like all mitzvah say, meaning the Rambam belongs in this camp. Right? Because the Rambam, here's Rishayim, says within the regular rules of mitzvah say is tefillah tzedakah. Ah, but if it's within the regular rules of mitzvah say, how does he answer the question of Tosos? Does he say like the Ri? He's clearly not like Rav Tam. He agrees your kofen, not like the third group of Jamin said, who says this is different from all mitzvah say. No, you're kofen like all mitzvah say. But why? Does he hold the Ri? Does he hold the Ritzvah? Does he hold the Michas Chinuch? So the answer is it's a Mefurish Rambam, Hilchos Shemitah Miyovel, in Perek Tes Halacha Lamed. What does the Rambam say in Perek Tes Halacha Lamed Shemitah Miyovel? I think it's a Mefurish Rambam. I haven't seen the Achronim point this out. I think it's a Mefurish Rambam. He said, there's a special law to refrain from lending money before Shemitah's Ksafim. That's really the Pashup Shot, not the Pashup Shot, the Pashup Shot and the non-Pashup Shot, right? That's what the Pashup Shot is talking about, right? Lend money. You should lend money to a poor person. Interestingly, the Chumash never says you should give tzedakah to poor people, only you should lend tzedakah to poor people. Okay, why that is, not for now. There's lots to think about there. And then the Gemara says, the Torah says, he shamer lecha peniel davar levavcha liyal lemor, right? Guard yourself. Do not think an evil thought in your heart, saying, karva shnas Hashem shnas hashmitah, right? That it's almost shmita and you won't lend money because he's not going to pay back. It's also he shamer is allowed. Don't refrain from lending money because it's almost shmita. Right, you might say, I'll lend money to poor people all the other times, he'll pay me back. But before Shemitah, I won't. So says the Rambam, whoever does not refrains from lending because it's almost Shemitah is violates lo sase. And it says around at the end of this, where he hosts because the hazel of Samshul Yemne Eliyitin, she never does some teaching love, while you rally above Chavsitin love. What does the Rambam say? He says, you should give him and not feel bad giving him in the context of, not of Tzedakah in general, of lending money before Shemitah. Fascinatingly, for what mitzvah does the Rambam think you get schar? Does the Rambam think you get schar for all giving tzedakah? No. I think the Rambam has a pirush in this parsha of the Torah. Yes, on the one hand, this parsha of the Torah is talking about tzedakah in general. You could read this parsha of tzedakah about the Torah about tzedakah in general. Clearly, I'll be drushes chazal. There are many drushes chazal that learn dinei tzedakah in general from this parsha. But the Rambam says that's not what the schar is. Then the Rambam should have put it in Matnas Aniyim. He should have said, in Matnas Aniyim, Hashem promises you schar for giving tzedakah. Instead, what does he say? Hashem promises you schar for lending money even before Shemitah. So I think the Rambam has an easy answer to this question. There is no Matnas Aniyim for tzedakah, not for the Shemitah reason, but for different reasons. The Rambam thinks the schar is only for lending before Shemitah, not for tzedakah in general. That's basically what he says here. He says, Hashem promises you schar b'mitzvah zov olmaz, and this mitzvah, which mitzvah? Not the mitzvah in Helvah Matnas Aniyim, the mitzvah in Helvah Shemitah Miyovel of not refraining from lending money before Shemitah. So I think the Rambam has an obvious answer to this question. Answers the Rambam that there's no matan schar al tzedakah, ella, I mean, there's no matan schar al tzedakah. Obviously, there's matan schar for everything in the Rambam. There's no matan schar b'tzida for tzedakah, ela rak al halva'a lifnei shnas hashmitah. Okay, but the matan schar is not going in tzedakah at all. It's going in something else. Of peniyela davar im vavchav li'al le'mor kavash nasasheva shnas hashmitah. Nason titin lo. Okay, so I think the Rambam has an easy answer to this question. The Minchas Chinuch has a second answer to this question as well. What's the second answer of the Minchas Chinuch? He says, and this, you know, Yesh L'ayin Harbe. Obviously, Minchas Chinuch didn't think this was a knockout answer, or else he wouldn't have said other answers also. But the Minchas Chinuch does give a second answer as well. Says the Minchas Chinuch here. There are many mitzvahs of tzedakah in the Torah. It's not only Nasan Titin Lo. Also in Parsha Mishpatim, right? Go on, 1 second. Also in Parsha Mishpatim, it says to give tzedakah to a poor person, right? It says in Kesef Kavay Sami Yisani Yimach. Okay, many places in the Torah says to give tzedakah to a poor person. There's many psukim. So it says in the Chassidut. Now again, we would have said, I think everyone else would say, who cares? There's many psukim. It's still Matan Sfar Betzida. He would say, no, there's Matan Sfar Betzida of this pasuk, but not the other pasuk. So you're not kofar for this. I mean, it's all one mitzvah. That's the Chiddush of Chassidut. It's all one mitzvah. But since the mitzvah is written twice, you're not kofar for pasuk X, but you're kofar for pasuk Y. I think that's a dominant answer to the Chassidut. But he says, on Kama Mikros, the Ein Matan Sfar Bitsad Kulon. Right? Some psukim have matan sar b'tzida, some don't. So you're kofar on the psukim that don't have matan sar, even though that's a big chiddush, because it's all one mitzvah.
In terms of the Rambam's answer, he's still, I think, the Rambam's source for tzedakah is still the psukim.
Yes, but he thinks the matan sar is not going on the tzedakah aspect, it's going on the not refraining from halva b'shnas hashmita aspect.
Even though
he's stuck up, really, still learning from the soft TikTok and all those. Yes, but it's just funny. He says, Hashem comes to Yitzchak b'mitzvah zo in Shemitah Yovel about lending before Shemitah. So it sounds like he's restricting the Yitzchak.
Is it possible
that it's possible. It's possible. One. I mean, you have to go back to Washington Brown and see exactly how he says it. What?
I think it's all this.
So then that would be true. Maybe you saw fifth out of general suck and also detail than this.
Is it possible that he's just using this as like an example of the place, because he's not, of a good example of when you get star, because this is obviously the hardest case to give? Because he's not talking about attitude at all, like he's talking about giving it.
No, not about attitude, he's talking about a very, very specific situation.
Right. And like he's quoting a positive in general. And his actual star that he quotes about if he has a positive part of the star has nothing to do with. He's not coming from lawyer Lavokla, that comes from
It's not at all the safer car. Right. No, it's a different part. He thinks the star is for lending before Shemitah. Nothing to do with attitude.
Right, but his lawyer Lavokla. His lawyer in the book, then you could say just like a poet. I mean, this giving. I don't know if is he living it to this?
He's talking about a certain mitzvah, right? He says mitzvah zo. He started the halacha saying this is a mitzvah. Then he says there's schar for mitzvah zo. I think the pasuk shot is a schar for mitzvah zo, not for some other mitzvah that's in some other book of the Mishnah Torah that he's not discussing now.
There's no specific mitzvah to give before Shemitah.
Yes, there is. The Rambam says specific laws to lend before Shemitah, to not refrain from lending before Shemitah. Look at the Rambam says. The Rambam says that it's a specific laws to have. That's what he says. And look, the Rambam does discuss in Avodah Zarah giving happily, and he doesn't say anything about schar there. He discusses giving tzedakah. He doesn't say anything about schar there. Obviously, a schar for tzedakah, I was saying. In Hilchos Matnas Anin, he could have said, and Hashem will bless you in all your business, and he doesn't. It's remarkable.
This is where asks why Rambam, based on this, didn't count the last second of moment before he based on this Rambam.
Right. Good. Okay, now here things take a little turn. Says the Ritva in Ksubas. How did this come up in Ksubas? Ksubas talks about family relations, the husband supporting his wife, and as a tangent gets into a father supporting his kids, and discusses that the chiyuv of the father to support his kids when they're not tiny anymore is midin tzedakah. Okay, so the question is then, what do we make of that, right? How do we enforce the chiyuv of tzedakah? So says the Ritva in Ksubas Daf Mem Tes. What does the Gemara say? But if he's rich, you force him because you force rich people to give tzedakah. Right? Again, I don't mean rich Bill Gates. I mean rich, like in the judgment, they should be giving tzedakah. Judgment test. So says the Ritva. He has posed this question. And he answers, no, that's in everything else. Says the Ritva, no, tzedakah is different. only other is Nina breaks the rules. Right?
It's different from other mitzvahs. Why is stuck in different from other mitzvahs? I mean, it's obvious that's why it's stuck in different from other mitzvahs.
This already brings up the big hakira. What's the relationship between sukkah and other mitzvahs, right? It's sukkah just like lulav and sukkah. Just happens to involve giving money to poor people? Or is it very different? Because in lulav and sukkah, you're not, no one needs your lulav and your sukkah, right? It's between you and Hashem, and Hashem doesn't need anything. Even in many mitzvahs, think other lachaveiro. There's not necessarily such a strong need for you to do this, but said the Ritva, Machzor and Shalaniyam. Of course, we're called Mitzvah more than anything else. Because every other mitzvah, you don't do the mitzvah, then it's your problem that you're not being from. Okay, so then we have rules when we force you to do what your things for your own spiritual good, and when we don't force you to do things for your own spiritual good. But for all other mitzvahs, the sugya is for you. And the answer is, we'll force you to do some mitzvos, she'ein matzar b'tzidon, but not mitzvah she'matzar b'tzidon. But, when it's correct, is the Rikvin Subas in the Masifta's essay? Good. Was the Rambam Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel there? Okay. The Ritva's fixed. Says the Ritva, it's a totally different kind of tfiyah. It's not like tfiyah for regular mitzvos, tfiyah for you to do the right thing. For you doing the right thing, Mount Svar, but see, no, we wouldn't force you. But there's another part here. The Aniyim are starving. They have no food to eat. How are the Aniyim going to live? We don't force you for your sake. We force you for the Aniyim's sake. And that's basically what I'm saying. What we're saying here, different from other mitzvos. Not tfiyah for your sake, but for theirs being the Aniyim. And that is exactly what the Ritva says. Says the Ritva, Subos, Kofen, Mishom, Machsoron, Shel Aniyim, Lo, Mishom and Mitzvah. Obviously, what do you mean not for the Mitzvah? It's not coincidental that the Aniyim have a Machsoron, there's a Mitzvah to give them. That's what the mitzvah is all about. The point is not for you to cop a mitzvah and do the right thing. Rather, not for you to listen to Hashem. That's not why we force you. For that, we rely on Tzvar Tzidah. But for the Aniyim, not food to eat, because the Aniyim are starving. Ah, mehichi tasi. It's a nice smara, but what's the marker of this? So he says, he makes a stretch. The pasuk says, yasisa, means Bez didn't have to force you to fulfill your neder to tzedakah. And even though that's, we would have said that's only Hilchos Nedarim. What is that for tzedakah? So here's the Chiddush of the Ritva. The Chiddush of the Ritva is that no, it's not really about Nedarim. That's just an example. It's really Nivoy Milsa that we force you to do all tzedakah. Okay, that's the Chiddush of the Ritva. The Chiddush of the Ritva is that we force you to tzedakah because tzedakah is fundamentally different from all other mitzvot. Because tzedakah is not just for you to be a good person. Obviously, it's also for you to be a good person. Right, every mitzvah is also for you to do a mitzvah. But tzedakah is not just for you to do a mitzvah, it's for the aniyim that food to eat. And therefore, we force you for the aniyim's sake, not for your sake. And the Radbaz takes this idea even further. Says the Radbaz, the Rambam says in help with matnas aniyim that we force you, right? Says the Ravaz, why do we, on the side of the Rama there, why do we force you? He asks Tosfos this question. And he says, maybe because of the lav. Okay, he also doesn't point out the Rama of the Shmita. I think everyone should point out the Rama of the Shmita, the Obel. And then he says, then narrowly, but it seems to me, to shine with Zeshel Tzedakah, she's supposed to come to Laniyim. That it's not for you, it's for the Aniyim. And the Ray, he just adds one thing, adds Ravaz, Vareyu Kechovalav. You owe them the money. All mitzvahs, you owe yourself and Hashem to do the mitzvahs, right? But here, you owe a mitzvah to the Aniyim. The kofen of solo for a chov over your own kasa, and we force you to pay your debt, and we even confiscate your property, right? Tzedakah is fundamentally different from other mitzvahs because you owe it to the Aniyim.
Teda he adds, Shari b'chol mitzvahs kulum nesrani soyon, uv mitzvahs hamayser utar.
And I was never clear to me exactly what he's trying to say, but he says, I'll prove to you tzedakah is different from all other mitzvahs. And all other mitzvahs, it's usher to test Hashem. Right? Lo tenasu Hashem elokeichem. Right? I can't say, Hashem, you know, I am, I'm going to wear tefillin every morning like you told me, and I'm going to do it for a month and see if I, you know, get a job. That's usher to do. That's called lo tenasu Hashem elokeichem. You're not allowed to test Hashem, except for tzedakah, right? Because it says beforish. It doesn't say the word nisayon, it says the word bechina. You can give Hashem a bechina, right? Mm-hmm. Who said that? You can give Hashem a bechina? Malachi, right? It's one of the books of Trey Asar, for those who are very Yeshivish. It says Malachi, Havius Kolam Asar el, it's called Maser el Beis HaOtzar, bring, although I give all your Maser, be terif bevesin, there'll be food in my Beis HaMikdash. Uv chanuni navazos of Hashem tzvakos, test me with this. Says Hashem says, go ahead, test me. Normally, that's usher. Tzedaki says, go ahead, test me. Right? That I will give you rain, and I'll give you rain was money in those days, right? Now, here, there's a bit of a machlokes, Rishonim Nachronim, is the heter of Nisayon only for Meiser? Because Malachi mentioned Meiser, or for old Tzedaka? So the Rav holds old Tzedaka. Seder, okay, that's a 50-50 machlokes. Said Rav Raz, why does Hashem let you test him for tzedakah and not for anything else? So it's an interesting question. Like, why does Hashem say test me for tzedakah and you're not allowed to test Hashem for anything else? So maybe what Rav Raz means is, he says, because everything else is just between you and Hashem. Now then you have no right to test. Hashem says, don't test me. Do the right thing for me or don't. But tzedakah is for the aniyim. Takana shel Razi says, takana l'aniyim. Hashem says, you know what? For the takana v'aniyim amaychel, you can even test me. Right? Hashem has to go out of his way and compromise on his normal standards for the takana of the aniyim. Okay. And if Hashem says this mitzvah is different than all other mitzvahs, I'm willing to make deals with you because the aniyim need the money because I don't want the aniyim to starve. The aniyim need food to eat. Then likewise, we see that this is not just a regular mitzvah between you and Hashem of doing the right thing, of being ruchnius, being an obed Hashem. This is, so the aniyim don't starve. Hashem's willing to compromise, and therefore we see that we should force you to do it so the aniyim don't starve, and it's even like a chol. What is a chol? The shiva nechassin. Now here we get into potentially some radical political philosophy, right? Okay, we're not talking philosophy, we're talking lawness, but okay. Lumbus on some sugyas becomes not politics, chas v'shalom, but political philosophy. One of the things which people debate now, not one of the main things people debate in America nowadays, but once upon a time, this was more central topic of debate, is, right, do rich people owe tzedakah to poor people? And again, when I say we're discussing political philosophy, not politics, I mean that seriously. Like, please don't start telling me, but this policy of the Republicans, the Democrats, et cetera. I'm not asking, tachlis, whether you like the way they do this or that in America, and whether you're saying, well, if they, you know, even if you show this government's going to do wrong or right, that's politics that I don't care about right now. I'm asking theoretically, right? Theoretically, in Lumbus, do rich people owe poor people money? Or is it just the right thing to do to give poor people money? To the best of my knowledge, everyone, you know, except for people who read too much Ayn Rand, holds that rich people should give poor people money. The big debate among normal people is, do they owe them the money? Or is it, they don't owe them the money, it's their money. They just, you know, they it's a nice thing. You should be a good person to give them the money. Okay, here is a tremendous chiddush, the Radbaz here. Says Radbaz, it's a chov olav. It's a chov. You owe the poor people the money. It's not just that you have to be a good person. He takes the riff, but he takes it a step further, right? Maybe the riff meant this, maybe he didn't. I don't think the riff meant it quite so strongly. It says it's chov olav. You owe them the money. If you owe them the money, then of course we force you to pay your debts. You ever heard of, you know, if I say, I mean, the Gemara isn't happening, right? The Prius, the Balfour Mitzvah. If I say, I owe Dovi 10,000 shekel, I say, you know what? I'm not such a good person today. You know, I decided to be a Russia. I say, I'm going out. I'm going to go eat a cheeseburger. I'm going to drive on Shabbos. I've given up on my Olam Haba. I'm just taking a different derech in life. So leave me alone. I don't want to be a good person. I'm not paying 10,000 shekel. Bezen don't start asking about Fial Mitzvos, about Sarbat Sidon, and these other things. They say, what are you talking about? It's his money. Like, this is not about how good you want to be. It's just not your money. Says the Radvaz, it's not your money. It's the Enigim's money. Ah, oh, it looks like it's my money. And the Hanami. So sometimes Hashem gives a pikadon to the rich people to hold on to and distribute to the poor people, right? After all, if I gave Ari 10,000 shekel to distribute to poor people, he would have no habit of saying he doesn't want to do it, and maybe he's not a good person, doesn't want to do the mitzvah of giving it. It's not his money. He owes it to them. Likewise, maybe all of the rich people's, not all the rich people's money, they get to keep a lot of it for themselves, but some of the rich people's money is just to be kadam that Hashem gave them to distribute to the poor people they really owe to the poor people. Okay, this is already a very different view of, and let's just see what is added by the Radvaz.
Doesn't all this presuppose a world without taxes in the modern world? Comparing to modern world, there are taxes.
I mean, the question is, in the modern world, should we tax you to give money to poor people? I mean, in all Western countries, they do. Again, I'm not getting to politics. You like the way they do it. You don't like the way they do it. You know, that's, you know.
Rebbe, isn't there a parallel between tzedakah and the matnas kahuna, which are called mamon hashevet?
Maybe not. I mean, clearly, masar ani is more parallel to matnas kahuna. Okay, but that's very different. Tzedakah in general, that's the question. Now, once I give tzedakah, like I'm mafresh a coin that I put in the pushka, then clearly that's more similar to the Mamon HaShevet. It belongs to the Aniyim, etc. And some of that has to do with Tosfos and Rashi Ulshanos, Ulshanosa. It belongs to the Aniyim in some respect, more like Matnas Kahuna. But if I haven't given it yet, then the question is there a parallel? I don't know if there's a parallel. Anyway, says the Radvaz, he says, there's Pakamas Aniyim, the same as the Ritva, and he says it's a Chovalov. And therefore, obviously, you have to pay your debts, because it's not just a mitzvah, it's a debt. And the Ksos comes to the same conclusion, although we'll see, he throws in one page. But the Ksos comes to the same conclusion at the very end of this Ksos. I apologize for giving such a long Ksos. But no, I don't, actually. What better way is there to spend your 120 than learning long Ksosis? But the Ksos says at the end, he says, that even if you want to say that someone makes a neder to tzedakah, there's no sheep in the chasim, there's no debt, because a neder is merely a mitzvah and not a debt. But tzedakah, he thinks that there is a sheep in the chasim for tzedakah, right? Why? Just like mitzvah hanukkah, the Torah says hanukkah, you have to give a tip. A severance pay, that's the word. You have to severance pay to your Eved Ivri when he finishes working for you. And that's a shibud. It doesn't just mean be a nice person and give him severance pay, like be a good person and shake a lulav. It means you owe him the money, right? You owe him the severance pay. Likewise, tzedakah mamona meshuba litain la'aniyim. And then he says, this is the answer to Tosa's question on our daf. Zesh on a kofra, so the end of it. So zan l'hashel and yolam ha'shachayim lam. You're just paying your debts. Who cares about the Sarbat Sidon? Obviously, Bezdin has to enforce debts. They have to make everyone pay the money they owe because you owe the money. Right? So that's the Radvaz and the Ksos. Okay. And we'll see. The Ksos might be coming, might or may not be coming in the middle of a slightly different angle. He says, Chovalov and Shibod Nechasim. We'll see many deos saying this, but the Radvaz and the Ksos specifically say this in order to answer Tosa's question. What's the answer? How come you force someone to give tzedakah? Because they owe the money to the Aniyim. It's not just a mitzvah. It's a debt. They're meshuvah to the Aniyim. Again, this is a very radical view of tzedakah. that it's not just the right thing to give the aniyim, but you mamish all the money to aniyim. It's not your money. Just like if I borrow 10,000 shekel from Chayim, I wouldn't say this is all my money. Let me decide what to do with it. It's really his money that I borrowed from him that I owe him. It's not your money. It's not the aniyim's money that you owe them. Ah, you'll start saying, but didn't I work hard and earn it myself? Then why would I owe it to the aniyim? Chora, the answer has something to do with the fact that Hashem made you get that money and that you didn't actually earn it yourself. Right, we, I think the we Jews believe that the most progressive elements of the modern world discovered half of the truth in the last few years, right? Which half did they discover? That until a few years ago, everyone thought, who was rich and powerful, thought that the reason why they were rich and powerful is because they earned it by their own hard work and talent, and they deserve it. And then people came and started saying that, no, it's just your privilege. You didn't earn and deserve it. You just got it because of privilege. And they realized that it wasn't because you earn and deserve everything you have. And they discovered half of one of the most important truths in the world. We just have to bring them to the second half, because then you make a wrong turn and you could say everything you have is not because of you deserve it because you're so great. Rather, it's because of oppression, et cetera, and, you know, in a way that will not ultimately help the situation. You just need to make the other turn and say, no, it's because Hashem runs the world. And you actually don't deserve anything because of how great you are. It's all matana from Hashem. Okay, so the world has discovered half the truth in the last few years. We've had a lot of progress, meaning we figured out correctly, at least the progressives have figured out correctly, what's not the reason why we have everything we have. Now we just need the second half to figure out correctly what is the reason. Okay, but that was a side point here. Okay, so this is a very, very important hakira in tzedakah. I'll just point, I want to go into this hakira a little more.
Is it true that the Red Baz and the Seventh are going against Rabbeinu Tam, the Re, and the Mitzvah? And Rabbeinu Tam is saying that they're only mekabel upon themselves, i.e. that there's no such thing as gabbai being kofe if the person's not mekabel on themselves. If it was a shibud, then obviously the gabbai would be able to.
And of course they don't get it. They say they're going against Tosfos.
Okay, fine.
Right. They say, I'm giving you a different answer than Tosfos gave. Yeah, of course they're going against
that. What are they being somechan? Are they being mechadish something?
What are they being somechan? They're being somechan their sara. And it's also as many rites, which we'll mention as well.
I didn't
belong.
So
okay.
That's not how I should spend
money. Okay, so you're a chagasari. It's fine. Anyway, I just before I get into this chakira more, I want to mention this amazing Reb Chaim. There's a Yesodim Reb Chaim, which is the rubbing down of Shimish Yurin. Also, this is, we have a, I think, a book in the basement, which is called Yesodim Tzedakah, written by someone I know who brings down all the rubs, Torahs on Tzedakah, who discussed this at much greater length. But the Rav brings down a wild yesod from Reb Chaim to answer this question. And this is in Os Aleph of the Rav that was on the record sheet. He has an amazing yesod from Reb Chaim in Os Aleph there. Says the Rav, maybe we'll come back to it. He says that he quotes from Chaim, I don't know if we have this anywhere else, but the Rav, that there's tzvei dinim in tzedakah. He quotes from Chaim, there's tzvei dinim in tzedakah. There's a chovas yachid of tzedakah and a chovas sibur of tzedakah. On the one hand, that's a chiddush. I haven't seen anyone say this before the Rav quoting in Chaim. On the other hand, Reb Chaim would say, it's not a chiddush. It's sort of implicit in all the Makoros, right? What do the Makoros talk about? There's a kupa, there's a tamchoy. These are all dinim of the tzibur, right? What did the Rambam say in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim? He says something. What does the Rambam say? I'm going to keep repeating that until I find the page. In Hilchos Matnas Aniyim. What does the Rambam say in Helchos Matnas Aniyim? Called Ir, the ninth parak, Kol ir sheyesh ba Yisrael, chayav in laham mehim gabay tzedaka, gabay tzedaka, etc. Any city with Jews living there has to make gabay tzedaka, etc., etc., etc. Right? Me'olam lo re'ina v'lo shamana v'kol miYisrael she'inam kupa shel tzedaka. We never heard of a Jewish community without a kupa shel tzedaka. Basically, what does the Rambam do in Hilchos Tzedaka? In Perek Zayin, he tells you the halachas of mitzvah tzedaka. In Perek Ches, he tells you the halachas of a neder of tzedaka. In Perek Tes, he tells you the halachas of a community's tzedaka. And in Perek Yod, he tells you divrei Moser Rashbacha about tzedaka. Basically, Perek Zayin and Ches is about the chovas yachid of tzedaka. Perek Tes, all about the chovas sibur tzedaka. He starts with Kol Ir has to make gabay tzedaka, and then you have to make gabay tamchoy, and every town has a kupa, and you give it out on tanios, and you need two people, three people, all the things from our Gemara, and the Bnei Ha'ir can make a kupa tamchoy in Lashanosu, Chomash Yirtu, that was in our Gemara, and the things that are later in our Gemara. Well, how the Gabarim have to act in the Shuk, what they do if there's no Aniyim yet, how long you have to live in the city before you have to chip in, 30 days, etc., all in our Gemara. Who gets this money, who doesn't get this money, etc. Basically, almost all the Perek Tes, but at the end, it's more about who's poor enough to receive, who isn't, which, you know, might also be specifically about the Tzibur, might not. But Perek Tes is about the Chobot HaTzibur of Tzedakah. Says Rav Chaim, now there are two, clearly, why is this Rav Chaim a Chiddush but not a Chiddush? Because half of Hilchos Tzedakah is all on a Tzibur-y level. All things that you got Boyim and the Tamkoi, these are all Tzibur-y. No one can be a gabay tzedaka by himself, or have a tamkoy or a kupa by himself, or have any of these rules by himself, right? And then it talks about how if you're in the city for 30 days, you have to give tzedaka, right? If we skip this, maybe we read it. If you're living in the city 30 days, you have to chip in for the tamkoy. 3 months, you have to chip in for the kupa. 6 months, you have to chip in for sos for aniyim. 9 months for kvura for aniyim. Well, etc. Right? There's all of these halachos about the tzibur in tzedakah. The question is, how do you conceptualize it halachically? So, what other people might do before is, there's really only mitzvahs yachid of tzedakah. However, Bezdin forces people to do their mitzvahs, just like shofar and lulav. So too, just like Bezdin would force you to come to shul to hear shofar and Rosh Hashanah, because you have a chovas yachid, and the most efficient way to do that chovas yachid is to go to shul instead of learning the shofar on your own. Just like Bezdin would force you to go to shul to hear the Megillah, because it's easier than learning to read on your own, but it's a chovas yachid. Bezdin will force you to get tzedakah, and that tzibur will help you do that efficiently. You might say it's a chovas yachid, but the tzibur helps you do it. But Rav Chaim says, no, what it really seems like from the Gemara is that there's a chovas yachid to give tzedakah, but there's also a chovas tzibur to give tzedakah. And that really tzedakah in Judaism exists on two levels. Every person has to be charitable, and also the community has to be built on principles of achrayas for each other as fellow Jews.
Isn't the din that if there's not enough money in the kupa, the tzibur has to come up with the balance, which would indicate more of a tzibur requirement?
Now, you can all say what that really means, that each yachid has to chip in to Deimach or Sheir Sarlo, but it's easier to get them to do it if we all work together. But again, really, Rav Chaim's of Lovnish Chiddush, but it's Pashim Shad on the Gemara. Our whole parak is full of halachos of tzedakah of the tzibur, and not really many things about the yachid. I mean, a little later, there's things about the yachid. And he wants to say, the Rav wants to say, this is, he quotes Rav Chaim, that maybe that's why there are two parshas of tzedakah in the Torah, maybe there are more, depending on how you count them, but he wants to say that the parsha in, there's a parsha in Re'eh and a parsha in Behar, and Re'eh it's from the Chovas Yochid of Tzedakah, and in Behar it's from the Chovas Sibur of Tzedakah. Okay, you know, the it's not super midori for those parshios, but it's actually midori for all the halachos, that there's a Chovas Yochid and a Chovas Sibur. And then, basically, says Rav Chaim, he says, I've solved Tosfos' question. I've solved Tosfos' question, right? The it's unclear. Did Rav Chaim use this to answer Tosfos' question? Love, it's unclear where one starts to stop. But based on Chaim, it's Pashut. Of course, Bezdin's not kofei you on the mitzvah of tzedakah, because it's Matan Skar B'Tzina. But there's a need for the tzibur to have tzedakah. Let me ask you a simple question. Does Beis Din force you to chip in for the gates of the city, for the walls of the city? Why? Because it's a mitzvah? Because does Beis Din force you to chip in for the walls of the city? Because the mitzvah of, well, Sassim Dam Beisecha and Beisecha Makul and Gadecha or Shmakul and Nafshu Seicha? No, why does Beis Din force you to chip in for the walls of the city? Because you are responsible to chip in for the needs of the keeper. Right? So, says Reb Chaim, you know why we force you to give tzedakah? We don't force you to give tzedakah as a yachid. We do, meaning, I cannot go over to, right now, today, in our current community setup, I can't go over to Mark Wiener and say, I checked your bank account, you have $7 million in the bank, and therefore, I know, and I make a bezin of gimel, that you should be giving $700,000 to tzedakah, whatever it may be, $1 million to tzedakah, let's be generous, force you to give $1 million. No, I can't force you as a yachid in the midst of tzedakah, because it's matan skar b'tzidah. But that's not what we're talking about in our Gemara. Our Gemara is talking about the gabay tzedakah. And Rabbi Achmed, Rabbi Nassan, was not talking about the private business of Rav or Nassan. That's the chiddush of the Rav. It was talking about the communal needs. There is a communal charity fund. Everyone had chipped for the charity fund. The communal charity fund didn't have enough money. So Rabbi came and forced Rav Nassan Bar Ami to give money for the communal charity fund. Meaning, it wasn't midin mitzvah tzedakah of the yachid. It was midin tzarchit tzibur. Everyone has to chip in for tzarchit tzibur. That's why there are lachs and chesam and aleph. After 30 days, you have to chip in for tamchoy. After 3 months for the kupa. After 6 months for the clothing drive. After 9 months for the burial society. What does all this have to do? The more you're shy to the city, the more you're shy to the chobos and tzibur of this city. So says Rav Chaim, a tremendous kiddush. And the chanami al's yachid is just a mitzvah like every other mitzvah. And we're not kofen. But there's more than yachid when it comes to tzedakah. The tzibur of Klal Yisrael is the tzibur of tzedakah. And as the tzibur needs tzedakah, just like they need water, just like they need roads, just like they need walls and security guards, the tzibur needs tzedakah, because the need of a goyish society is walls and security guards and roads and water, and the need of a Jewish society is tzedakah. Because a Jewish society has a chobos tzibur of tzedakah. You know what I would compare this to? The Beis Knesses, right? Why do you make someone chip in for Beis Knesses? Says Reb Chaim. Not for the mitzvahs yachid that, you know what, it says in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, a lot of people say that I've forgotten this in the last 2 years. It says in Shulchan Aruch, the mitzvah to daven shul and not on the block. That's not why we force someone to chip in for the shul, because they have a mitzvah daven shul. We force people to chip in for shul because that tzibur needs a shul. And just like a goyish tzibur needs a road and needs needs water and needs a wall, a Jewish tzibur needs a shul and needs sifrei Tanakh, right? The Gemara says, the Tosefta rather, says in the Torah of Bimuksuva. These are needs of a tzibur. Likewise, right? If you get this against Reb Chaim, you assume like the Ramban and Megillah and the Milchamos, leanings of Chobos at tzibur. So why do we make everyone chip in to buy a Torah if they don't have a safer Torah? You have to chip in for the Jewish needs of the tzibur as well as the secular needs of the tzibur. Therefore, the tzibur needs to be a tzibur that supports aniyim. Otherwise, it's not a Jewish tzibur. Otherwise, it's as bad as not having roads and water. If you don't support aniyim, then your whole society is worthless. And therefore, we force you midin tzarchei tzibur, not midin mitzvah hayochid, because all the tzarchei tzibur we force you to do, that's a pre-existing rule. That's what all these sugyas are about. And for Chaim, it's very meduyak. Just like the sugyas about the walls and the water and the roads, etc., were all about hishtachos b'tzarchei tzibur, the sugyas about tzedakah are not about the mitzvah tzedakah. They're about hishtachos b'tzarchei tzibur. Since when is tzedakah tzarchei tzibur? The answer is it's the Sfadian of tzedakah, the tzedakah of the yachin, and tzedakah of the tzibur. Nowadays, you know, maybe we only, you know, I don't know. It's hard to think of tzedakah the tzibur, because like, who's the tzibur? The tzibur's not as organized. We don't live in a shtetl. Everyone sort of collects their own tzedakah fund. But maybe in small towns, but there's tzedakah the tzibur. So that will just end with it. And Reb Chaim says different from other mitzvos, but different from other mitzvos, not because of the tzor chaniyim, because of the tzibur, right? If I had a little room here, I would say different
etc. Because the tzibori aspect, and this would be nine, would be Rukhayim. Rukhayim would say, En kofed al mitzvahs hayachid ela al hishtatfus. It starts with tzibor, and of course we force people to support the tzibor. Mishom mitzvahs hatzibor. That's a big kiddush, the mitzvah tzibor of tzedakah. That's a big kiddush to Rechayim, but it really is very, very good. You can all the sugyim, that's what's doing about it. Why is stuff in Baal Basra? Isn't there a better place to put tzedakah? According to Rechayim, no, there's no better place to put tzedakah. Because all about Basra is about shukvin and shkain of the year. It's about the needs of people who live with each other. And tzedakah is not just the need of the aniyim or the need of me, it's the need of the tzibor. A Jewish tzibor has to be a tzibor of tzedakah. Okay, that's a volley for Chaim. Now I just want to come back to, we're going to have to leave Chaim aside for now, because I don't have more rise for him, other than just cautious old subjects.
In terms of the Chaim, so he's saying that when there's a Chovat Tzibor still, that would filter down to every single individual. As opposed to saying that, as opposed to being an aggregate of a lot of people, it's actually...
it's the aggregate of a lot of people that's in this mitzvah. But whenever there's a need of the aggregate, we force everyone to pay, just like the walls are a need of the aggregate, we force you to pay.
But if it's about a tzibor, we still view the tzibor as a group of individuals rather than a lump sum of people.
No, the tzibor is, let's say that tzibor is an organic entity, perhaps.
So then why do we have to pick from each person?
Because how else does the tzibor get money for what it needs?
Well, it needs a certain amount of money, and then...
If it doesn't have enough, then you take from people.
You take from people, but you can collect a certain sum of money, lavda after, from each individual.
But I don't understand. Then no one's going to give it if you don't tell each individual how to pay for
you. Then you have to force, but the Beit Din doesn't have to force each person. They could force individuals that they choose out of a hat, so to speak.
No, that wouldn't be fair. You could also do that for the walls, but that wouldn't be fair. The female rule would be a fascia.
I'm trying to think of why is it that because it's a chobad at Tzibor, then it's okay to take from individuals?
Because the rules of a community are that you have the right to tax individuals to support the community.
That's why I was trying to get Rebbe to say it very simply. We're just being, people are agreeing to be part of a community. It sounds like
it's him, not us. Does he know? Does he know? I don't know. Maybe you need the telephone of somebody in the shiur to be able to tell him.
Decide who to force, which individual to force.
They did, and Rav decided to force the Masa Barami because he was on it.
No, that's perfect, but he didn't force everyone else. He forced an individual.
He forced all the people who was Kedai to force according to the rules of the Tzibor. Okay, we're not getting into details. I don't mean every single person has to give.
The Rebbe agrees that not every individual has to be forced by Beit
Din. That's what you mean. When he talks about the Tzibor, it doesn't mean every single person has to give money to be a Tzibor. It's not showing. I just mean that Tzibor taxes people in accordance with the sound common sense policy. Lefi Mamon, Lefi Nefashos, Lefi something else, etc. Okay, Lefi Mamon with an asterisk, and the Heichad Amid. Okay, yes.
Separately, one potentially be without the Rukhayim's Shmak, but one be potentially be without between this and all the other cases of walls and everything else, because the Gemara gives gives or the Mishnah gives a parameter of how long you have to be living in the city to be a part of it. Meaning the cholas, all those cholas tzibur being the wall of the walls and everything else is because you're a part of that. You sort of get that hana. Obviously, if you're giving, you're not getting. Meaning the rich person.
He's pointing out that there's a fundamental difference. All the other things, you're getting something and you give, which is what we discussed this year.
And the riot from that is because you have to be living in the city for a certain amount of time.
Right. Although on the other hand, you also have to be living for a certain amount of time to be chayvin chipping in for tzedakah. So that cuts against you. But you're right. You don't have to say rechayim. You could say there's a difference. All those other things are because everyone benefits, so everyone has to chip in. Tzedakah is not, but everyone benefits. It's not a mitzvah. So therefore, it's all individual. You're right. You could say that. So rechayim says otherwise. Okay. Now I want to get back to the question of the ritva and the revaz, and the Chazon Ish points out. Is tzedakah a shiva nechasim? Do you owe the ani of money? Is it a shiva nechasim? Or is it just a mitzvah? Right? Again, 1 through 7 all assumed it was a mitzvah. Stick with the rules of mitzvahs. 2 answers, stick with the rules of mitzvahs, therefore in kfiya. 5 answers, stick with the rules of mitzvahs, therefore yesh kfiya. The Rambam stuck with the rules of mitzvahs. Even though lots of unfortunate Rambam say otherwise. But the Rambam here to the Shnai's Ksuba said, like every mitzvah say. Or do you say this is not like normal mitzvahs? Because here we have a shiva nechasim. Again, either for a kind, which I'm not going to focus on now because of the tziburi aspect, or because of takanas aniyim, because of the chov to the aniyim. So is it a shiva or is it a mitzvah? So here we have many nafkaminas of this kakira. I'm probably going to need a whole board for this kakira. Bulldoze and clear out some real estate, which we're very familiar with at this point. Here's our question. What's the nature of tzedakah? Do you owe the money to the aniyim, or is it just a mitzvah? Shibud or mitzvah? Shibud or mitzvah? Home or mitzvah? Here is the Hakira, Tzedakah. Is it just a mitzvah? It's clearly also a mitzvah. No one's saying it's not a mitzvah. Is it just a mitzvah or is it a chov and a shivut? Right? What's the nafkamina? One nafkamina is an answering Tosfos Kasha, right? Which is what we just had on the board. Nafkamina number one is Kushyas Tosfos. In Baba Basra, Bar Chesamid Beis, if it's just a mitzvah, you give answers 1 to 7. Right? Instead of writing everyone's name here, right? Or do you say no? It's because Shiva Nechasa. Obviously, you collect Shiva Nechasa. That is a good mountain story for the Betzida. Another nafkamina could be, what type of kfiya do we do? Right? What type of kfiya? What type of kfiya might or might we not? But first of all, we talk about kfiya and mitzvos. How are we kofa on mitzvos, generally? How are we kofa on mitzvos? What do you imagine? What do? We beat him up until he agrees. Right? We give him malchus until he agrees. Okay. When you think of debts, again, there's a funny mark, but how do you think of enforcing debts? Do you imagine beating people up till they agree? What do you imagine?
Take his money.
You send the sheriff and he confiscates his money. What do they call that nowadays? Hotza ala pala, right? The hotza ala pala, you go and you take his money. You go into his bank account and you take money out of his bank account to pay his debts. That's what they do nowadays if you don't pay your debts. If you don't pay them for long enough. Here's the question. Nachtino l'nechseh or lo nachtino l'nechseh or yordin l'nechaseh? Do we confiscate your property for tzedakah or do we not confiscate your property for tzedakah? Says the Rashba in Tzuvos on that sugya of forcing you to feed your kids, your older kids al tzedakah, says the Rashba in Tzuvos, he says, Kafina le Balkarcha, we force you to give tzedakah, miu lo nachtino l'nechseh.
We don't confiscate your property for tzedakah. We only force you. Like we don't confiscate your property for shofar or sukkah or lulav. We just beat you. We beat you for tzedakah, but we don't take your property. And therefore, if you're not here, we can't force you. Then we have no recourse, right? Because we can't take your property. And then he brings a proof. What's his proof? His proof is the Gemara says one daf earlier. Someone who travels overseas and we lose touch with him overseas, we, Bezdin, goes down to his bank account and feeds his wife, etc., but they do not feed his older kids and they do not give tzedakah. Why? Because, so basically, the Rashba, what about Yerida Limchasa? What about your regional chassav? Do we confiscate his money or not? If it's just a mitzvah, you might say like the Rashba. Ein yordin limchasav. Okay, but who says we are yorid limchasav? Famously? Who says we are yorid limchasav?
The Rambam.
The Rambam! Okay, says the Rambam of Furish, we're Yordim and Chasav. But what's the funny word in the Rambam? What's the funny controversial word in the Rambam? Bifana. We confiscate his property, Bifana. Why does the Rambam add Bifana? What does Bifana mean? So, here you have a famous machlok between the Bach and the Shach. Says the Bach, it means Afilu Bifana. Even if he's here, we confiscate his property. Meaning, for sure, if he's not here, we confiscate his property. But if he's here, you might think we should just, like, try to convince him and get him to hand over the property. Like, if he's here, we should try to get him to cooperate. No, even if he's here, we confiscate his property, we lose patience, we don't spend an extra 10 minutes trying to convince him to go along with us. Even if he's here. Call him, if he's not here, we confiscate his property, because what else are we going to do? So the Bach says we confiscate his property. Let's just put this. Okay, here it is going to be a little tricky. The Bach says, Bein b'funav, bein shelo b'funav. The Shach says, no. Davka b'funav, only b'funav. And then the question is, why? The question is why. So the let's look at the Rambam. Says the Rambam.
The question's more important about Shach than the Bach, right?
Yeah.
What's your question you want to deal with?
Okay. Let's start with the Bach. Let's start with the Bach.
You just did that in extreme position.
Says the Bach, right? The problem is that the Ksos says so many different ideas here.
Yes.
That
it's going to keep us going till May of S3.
That it's going to keep us going. Okay, but let's try and organize it in the best way that I can. The Rambam, there are two versions of the Rambam. One version of the Rambam is the version of the Rambam according to the Bach. So the Rambam lefi Bach, Yordin Linchasav Bein Befanav. Bain shalom b'fanav. That sounds like it's a regular debt. You're yorid l'chasav, bain b'fanav, bain shalom b'fanav, because he owes the money. Because he owes the money. However, the Shach's version of the Rambam l'fi Shach, yordin rak b'fanav. Right? He's been diagnosed, but only if he's here you confiscate his property, not if he's away. Which actually works well because if he goes to Medina Sayyam, then you're not yours in the Chassav, right? What did the Rashba say? The Rashba says, I'll prove to you that you can't confiscate his property. If he goes to Medina Sayyam, you don't take his property for tzedakah. The Rambam would just say, I mean, there are many things you could say, you know the Ran, but
But the Rambam might say, yeah, that doesn't mean you don't confiscate his property. It just means you don't confiscate his property when he's not here. But he's here and you confiscate his property. Why is that? So, but here you have two drachim explaining why this is, the shach and the ktus. Again, the ktus has many different ideas at different points of the ktus. But the shach and the ktus, how can you take this in two directions? Why? Meaning, if you want to say you confiscate his money regardless, that's like a regular sheep under the hoof. If he owes money, we take his property with no questions asked. If you want to say we never take his property, just beat him, that's like a regular mitzvah say. Why would it be that we only take his property if he's here? So this you can take in more than one way. The shach says, for a technical reason, says the shach, you know why we only confiscate his property if he's here? Because in Eino Kani, Yordan Chosav Ad Modeina Leim Efshar. Ah, because he's not here, we never confiscate someone's property for a debt until we send them a message first. And therefore, basically, what does the Shach say? Of course we confiscate his property whether he's present or not. Just if he's present, we confiscate on the spot. And if he's not present, there's a whole procedure of informing him and warning and sending a letter, right? Everyone knows, right, that they have to, what do they have to do, serve notice on you? Right? That's the hard part of lawyers, right? If someone owes you money, before he's confiscated their property, you have to sue him, you have to send him a letter from Beis Din or from the court or whatever, they have to serve notice on him, right? This is a big geschäft among some sort of sheriff-type professions. How to find someone and get the piece of paper into their hands so that you properly inform them and then you can proceed legally, right? There's a whole chachma of that. Says the Shach, really he agrees with the Bach. You can confiscate Bein B'Funav Shelo B'Funav. Oh, you've been dyke the Ram only B'Funav? No, it means only B'Funav because Shelo B'Funav, you have to send him a letter first. But theoretically, and that's what some of the other Achronim saying there, the Shach really admits you can confiscate Shelo B'Funav also. Let's say you can't find him, send him a letter, it's Machlokes, between the Nekudas HaKesef and the Pesachei Tshuva, they're quoting, I forgot who. There's wrong Pesachei Tshuva on that. So you could take this in two ways. One way is the Shach says just there's a technical need for Hoda'ah Shelo B'Funav. But not that theoretically you have no right. He's really like the Bach. You're kofel legamrei. Right? But what does the Ktsos say? The Ktsos explains this Rambam based on a Ramban. The Ramban says, not based too specifically on the Ramban. What did the Ktsos say? The Ktsos says that because Yerida Linchasav Bifanav is part of kfiya. Basically, if you read the Rambam as davka, you're yorid l'funav, but not shelo l'funav, you could take it in two ways. You're yorid l'funav, shelo l'funav, really like the Bach. You always confiscate his money because he owes the money, nothing to talk about. He owes the money, nothing to talk about. Just the fun of you confiscate it, shelo l'funav, even if someone owes money. That's what the Shach says, like every code. Even if someone owes money, there's a procedure, so the product, you can't confiscate so quickly, you have to serve him notice. Or the Ktsos says, no, the Rambam's really like the Rashba. It's not a debt. It's just a mitzvah. That's the doy the Rambam appears to Tzai Tzuba. Why the Rambam say here's Tzai Tzuba? We're co-funded just like with a lash, why can't I take your money? If you're in front of me and I take your money, that's just the way of forcing you. That's just part of fiat. If I can whip your body, I can certainly take your money. If you're here, if you're in a cold forcing, what am I forcing? If you're here, I'm like, you must hand over this money. I'm taking this money, you're handing it to me, and I'm forcing you to give me the money. That's part of fiat. If you're not here, that's just business. There's no business debt. So that's two ways of taking this. Let's take it one step further. How about halach l'dina sayah? That was a raya of the Rashba. It's mefurish in the Gemara Ksubas. Halach l'dina sayah. What does the Gemara say? Okay, it's not so clear what davar acher is, right? But it's mefurish in the Gemara Ksubas as the Rashba for a good raya that
Misha Halach and Vidas Hayan, based in Yorg Luchatz, with Zonin and Farnes and his Ishto, they support his wife, Lo Bonim, Lo Sub, Lo Dor Acher. They don't support his kids. Meaning they don't get Tzedakah, because supporting his kids, meaning older kids, is Vidas Tzedakah, Lo Dor Acher. Obviously, Dor Acher means not Tzedakah. And that's clear. So Dor Acher either means Tashit or Tzedakah. And there's a clear hierarchy. Either means, and we don't give Tzedakah, or and we don't give his wife perfume. And Kol Shekin, we don't give Tzedakah. Okay, actually, it's lying on that. It's lying on that, but it's clear. We don't support his kid, we don't give Tzedakah. So Halach Lina Sayyad, Ein Yordin Lin Chasav. Like the Rashba, doesn't that just prove everything? Why are we not Yordin Chasav if you went to Medina Sayyad? And don't say, for the Shach's reason, that you have to give him notice first. Because if he's in Medina Sayyad, you can't serve him notice. And if you can't serve someone notice, you're allowed to collect their debts. The Shach, what he said, means if he's in the next town, then you can't collect, you have to serve him notice. So why not? So it's very Nicha, that's after the Rashba. Nicha, if you say he's just a regular mitzvah, he's not here. If he's not here, then we can't force him to do a mitzvah. Right? That's what the Rashba's saying. You force him, but you don't take his property. If he's not here, he can't do the mitzvah. Or even the ktzos. You can confiscate the property in front of him, since he sees you confiscating it and is giving it to you, then you're forced him to do a mitzvah. But if he's not here, then it's like, but what if you hold sashiva? What if you hold sachol? Then why can't you take money? If he went to Medina Sayyam, what are the two answers? You have to give an answer. If it's really sashiva, why doesn't he have to pay if he goes to Medina Sayyam? So what are the two answers in the Mefarshim, in the Rishonim? Yes. What?
So we have the Kesef Mishnah.
What did the Kesef Mishnah say, Moshe? Exactly, there's a technical reason. Of course, theoretically, we force him to give tzedakah when we would confiscate his property. But again, let's say he has $7 million in the bank, like Mark, and we think he's right to give $1 million to tzedakah. But how do we know he didn't give $1 million to Medina Sayyam? Maybe he gave the money already to Medina Sayyam, and he doesn't owe any more money. Therefore, for a technical problem, send the guest mission. Is the guest mission the first one to say that or not? I mean, you obviously know what the answer is going to be.
It's always going to be no.
Yes, he's not. Who said it before the guest mission? The Ritva said before the guest, not the Ritva Daf Mem Tes. The Ritva Daf Mem Ches says. Abel Tzedakah, if you go to Medina Sayyam, who Abel posting the Masum Shehu, he gives Tzedakah wherever he is. How can we make him pay twice? So you have to say there is a, you have to give one of two answers. Either A, theoretically, we would, but he's no thing, B'makom Shehu Sham, which is how the Kesef Mishnah defends the idea of Shiva Nechasim and what the Ritva says. Or B, what the Ran answers. What does the Ran answer? The Ran makes no kimta in this Gemara. What's the Ran's okimta? What? To Mohammed. The guy's not rich, and therefore he doesn't own tzedakah. Remember, the only person who gets tzedakah, they're rich. That was what our Gemara says. Okimta de lo amid, meaning that whole Gemara is not talking about what someone has to give. That Gemara is talking about what someone wants to give, right? The question is, Abadi doesn't have to give tzedakah because he's not rich. The question is, would he want to give it anyway? And the answer is, no, he wouldn't want to give it anyway if he doesn't have to. But Anachanan, if he was rich, we would take his money, right? But if he was rich, again, I don't mean rich like Bill Gates. Rich meaning he shouldn't give it to tzedakah. We would take his money for tzedakah. Okay, so basically, what these two answers are, theoretically, we would take his money for tzedakah because he owes the money. It's just that either technically we think you're already gave it, you can't make it twice, or he's not rich and therefore he doesn't have to give tzedakah.
If there's a chov, is a shibud. There's two kinds of shibud. There's shibud from a Kaddish Baruch on your money, but there's also a local shibud. You have to take care of your city. What cares if he pays over there? He has to take care of his city.
Okay, that is a great question. That's why the guest initially referred not Pashit. After all, certainly if you hold like Rabbi Chaim, then you would not give this answer. You say, what do you mean? There's a chov of that city for. Then it might, or rather, you'd say it depends how long he's been in Medina Sayyam, right?
Just like if you go for 12 months, you contribute to the new wall instead of the old city's wall. So it depends how long you went to the Hayam, etc. So basically, either you'd have to say against or Chayim. I mean, even against or Chayim is still a din of people chipping in. Basically, what you have to say is either there's no real Chovas HaTzibur, and you can force someone to chip it in, but he has the right to give it elsewhere. That's a big Kiddush. But if you deny Rav Chaim, maybe he's the right to give elsewhere. I mean, it means for Nassan he gives in his city, but he has the right to choose to give it elsewhere. Or you say maybe he's been in Medina Sayyam for a long time, and therefore his allegiance changes. Right? So we know 30 days, 60 days, or 30 days, 90 days, 120 days, 180 days, a year, etc. However it works out. So it's not sufficient.
Just to understand the Ksos. Isn't kfiyah when Bezin forces you to do something, but then you end up doing it on your own?
So the Ksos is, it counts as you doing it on your own. Because since you're there when we take your money, it's as if you're giving us the money. And that's why you have to be there. Basically, that's what Ksos says. You can stretch what counts as on your own. Right? Let me give you an example. We can force you to sit there, and I'll put the tefillin on your arm. Right? Because you're still involved, even though you're sort of passive. So it's so sad. Okay, that's all part of Thea. It's a bit of a stretch, but you know, it's reasonable. But as long as you're there, if you're there and watching us take your money and letting us take it, even though you're only letting us take it under pressure, then you're giving it as long as you're there. Okay, now the other case is the case next to that in Ksumas. What about Nischaresh Vinishtate? Right, meaning who are three people who are potter from mitzvos? Chayr shelter v'katan. The Gemara there deals with someone who used to be chayv in mitzvos, then becomes potter. So obviously you can't have a case of niskatin, because you can't get younger. But niskar is finished off it. Right. The what if someone loses their what do we call it?
Their marbles.
No, there's a legal word for it. Loses their capacity. Right? They lose their capacity. Right? It's kind of, and it's true that this happens a lot nowadays sometimes when, you know, people get dementia or something, they lose their capacity, right? And then they have to go to court and the court has to appoint out a trafas, just like the courts do exactly what it says in the Gemara. I mean, I guess it's just like common sense. So what if someone's karshinish tata? Then what do you pay for his money? What do you not pay for his money? So the Gemara says the fourth exubus what to do. Says the Gemara, amishinish tata. Okay, I think the Rambam equates this Karish. Lahore is the same thing. Bezin Yordan Lachasim is none of a partner since Ishto, one of Nosav Dar Acher. Meaning, unlike the guy goes to Medina Sayyam, he decided to go to Medina Sayyam. If he didn't tell us to spend his money, we have no right to spend it. That's why we don't give tzedakah. Or, you know, maybe theoretically you would, but at least in whatever kemta, you know. But if the guy was Neshtate, he didn't decide to be Neshtate. He was Neshtate Bal Karcho. So what do we assume? We assume that he might have wanted to give certain things, right? Or at least he didn't object to giving certain things. So therefore, we do this feed his kid, right? But also his kid, and Dover Acher. What is Dover Acher? Is a machlokes of Chista and Rav Yosef. Rav Chista is Tachshit, and Rav Yosef is Tzedakah. And here we have a big machlokes Rishon of 2 days in Rashi. What's the machlokes in Rav Chista and Rav Yosef? Is the machlokes about Dover Acher of the Shota? Or the low dover acher of the halach from dinas hayam. So, according to, this is a big machlokas, what it means, Rashi's 2 days. One day is they're arguing about the shota. Rav Chista says that you give, who's what? 1 second. Rav Chista says you give his wife perfume and makeup, but not tzedakah. And Rav Yosef, you give tzedakah, and you certainly give his wife perfume and makeup. Right, so it's important for him that his wife look decent. That she may not be the noble. Okay, so according to this read, this is Rashi's, this is Rashi's first shot. According to Rashi's first shot, according to Rashi's second shot, is machlokas whether you give tzedakah from the nechassim of the shota or not. And l'chora, we would paskin not. L'chora, safek, we would not take his money.
All right, so machlokes are marayim. According to Rashi's second shot, none of the machlokes are someone who goes to Kedinas Hayam. Rav Chisna said, if you don't give his wife a tasha, you don't get stuck up. Rav Yosef says, you give stuck, you just don't give his wife tashas. And tasha does not mean the jewelry, it's between makeup and perfume. So according to Rashi's second day, which many Rishonim agree with, according to Rashi's second day, this machlokes is about halach and divas hayam, and everyone agrees you don't give tzedakah. It's only machlokes if you give tasha or not, nothing to us. According to Rashi's first day, this is the machlokes about a shumpet. Do you give tzedakah from his nechassim, or do you not give tzedakah from his nechassim? So we think the machlokes, I'm O'Brien, according to one day in Rashi, according to the other day in Rashi, say whatever you want, because we don't know. Whether you give tzedakah from the nechassim of a shumpet or not. So the simple shot is that this should depend on this machlokes. After all, does somebody who comes to a shumpet have to pay his debts? Of course he does. Someone owes me money and then they get dementia. I can still collect my debt. They don't stop owing. They're a bunch of permissos, but they don't stop owing money just because they get dementia. They still owe all the money they used to owe. So, l'chora, this might be a machlokes. So, according to Rashi, it's a machlokes amorim, right? According to Rashi, first shot, which is not as maskana. According to one shot in Rashi, it's a machlokes amorim. Rav Chisda says that you don't give tzedakah, and Rav Yosef says you do. So we think it should depend on this. This is, who says you don't? Rav Chisda, Lefi, Perish Rishon, Rashi, Ain Lokhin Tzedakah. We don't think tzedakah, that makes sense. If it's a mitzvah, he's potter for mitzvahs. As opposed to Rav Yosef, Lefi Perish Rishon Barashi. Again, according to Meir Shane Barashi, we have no idea because none of them are talking about this. They're talking about Medina Sayam. Says, Lokhin Tzedakah, we do take tzedakah. And with Rishon Paskins here, the Rambam is very good. Furash, if someone becomes a Shota or a Cheresh, Mishnah Shtatim Tzkarish, then they post on Tzedakah Hayaroi. Again, if he was Amid, they Paskin Tzedakah. So this is definitely the Shita of the Rambam. Okay, now, however, we get to the Kesef Mishnah. I apologize. This is the second shot of Rashi, not the first shot of Rashi. I'm in Pir Shani Barashi, which is what Rashi is also scunner. The Rambam passes clearly. Question is, does this mean the Rambam holds the Shiva and the Chov or not? And that's Kudeus right there in the Kesef Mishnah. Basically, this whole chapter is the Kesef Mishnah, but not close. Says the Kesef Mishnah, he quotes the Rambam, who says, I don't know why the Rambam thinks that, based on the Gemara. And the Rambam is funny. The Rambam says a different question. How did the Rambam begin with the Gemara? Because he has Rosh Hashanah Gemara, but that's not, or he had a Rosh Hashanah with the Gemara. Because Mishnah is a king who says, how does the Rambam stem with logic? Right? What's the story of the Rambam? Because Mishnah is two stories of the Rambam. The Eshel Lo B'Tam Rabbeinu, A Mishnah to the stomach of the Mishnah Lega Mevitz Daka Mimavone. What's his first answer? Maybe this is not because we force him to give tzedakah. This is not forcing at all. You misunderstood. This is not forcing. This is because he wants to give tzedakah. Forcing is if the guy doesn't want to give tzedakah, then you force him. That's forcing. Or if a guy goes to Medina Sayyam, and by leaving without giving instructions, it implicitly says he doesn't want to give tzedakah. That's called forcing. If the guy's a shote, what is the trophy supposed to do for the shote? He's supposed to do, not force him to do anything, just do in his place whatever he would have wanted to do. And the answer is, this is not forcing, it's Meiracho. A Stam Jew wants to give tzedakah. All Jews like to give tzedakah. But somebody wants to give tzedakah. He's not saying no. He's not going to be doing this hayam without instructions and implicitly saying no. He had no chance to ask his opinion. So what do we do? We make it open to what he wanted to do, and we do it. So says the Kesef Mishnah, there are two ways to take this. Says the Kesef Mishnah, why, you ask? Says the Kesef Mishnah, two ways. One way is that it's Omdina Derotelite. It's an Omdina that he wants to give. It's not Kfiya. It's not Kfiya at all. Of course, we're not Kofa showed this. But for mitzvahs, it's just that he wants to give. However, the second day in the Kesef Mishnah is saying, what does the second day say? Mamona Shalom Meshubah Lassot Menu Tzedakah. It is a Shibud. So basically, this guy here, the guy's Mishnah, first shot is maybe there's no Shibud for Tzedakah. So why are we taking the Shalom? And that's why we don't take the whole of the Sayyan. Why are we taking the Shalom? Death? Because we're not forcing him. He wants to give. He just can't tell us he wants to give, so we make it home to that based on in the past he's given Tzedakah, so he still wants to give Tzedakah. Most people want to give tzedakah, so he wants to give tzedakah. Second, they say, no, it's a shibud. Oh, if it's a shibud, why don't we take the whole of Kandina Sayyam? So the Kesef Mishnah says, because, says the Kesef Mishnah, as we quoted already, she owes it tzedakah, how much she owes it? He's giving tzedakah elsewhere, and we can't make it pay twice. So this is 2 days in the, Kesef Mishnah here. The Lat and the Rav, what does the Rav say about Perish the Shota and Chelek? Gimel, that's what we were up to, of that part, said the Rav, he says, okay, make a little fancier. He says, there's speaking of tzedakah. There's a chobas gavra and a chobas mom. Chobas gavra is a mitzvah. The chobas mom means the moment is for shubah. And even though the shubah doesn't have a chobas gavra, there's said that even in the shubah that has the shubah. Says, the way the Rav says as well, he says, because there's a shubah, but the Rav says, is it tzedinim? And he calls it the Chobas Mamon and Chobas Gavra. The mice of this state dinam ends up on the second side of the Chakira, like there is a Shiva. Lechora, the second side of the Chakira, Lechora, till we get to one more Ksos, admits there's a state dinam. So the Rav's basically on the second side of this Chakira. Who's on the side of the Chakira? Who mentions Shiva? The Kesef Mishnah mentions Shiva. Again, it's funny because the Rambam in the Pirish Mishnayis Ksubas did not sound that way. The Rambam Pirish Mishnayis Ksubas did not sound that way. Right? The Mashmaos of the Rambam, in general, the Sekhelim and the Mishnah Torah didn't seem to care very much about the Pirish Mishnayis. I'm not sure why. Maybe someone has some insight. Like, they almost never quote Pirish Mishnayis or take it into account in the Pirish Mishnah. And here we have the Rav who says, there's Beis Dinim, Chobas Gavra, and Chobas Mamon. Meaning, the Gavra is a mitzvah, the Mamon is a Shubud. But he's saying, it's different all the mitzvahs. In addition to the Chobas Gavra, there is a Shubud. Last thing we have to discuss is, again, there's no miscopying, but how could money all of a sudden go from being a Gadol to being a Katan? Again, a guy can't become a Katan, but how could money all of a sudden become a katans when it yesterday it was a gadol's yerusha? And what do we call that? What do we call those katanim? Yisomim, right? Okay, in what second does it tell you whether Yisomim gives tzedakah or not? Batra pesem and aleph. And what does it say very clearly, unequivocally? That they don't, right? They don't, we don't take the tzedakah from Yisomim. Aim low pin tzedakah. That is from Basra Chesamala. It's clear that you're somewhere with the tzedakah, right? Even for the biggest tzedakah, which is Pinyin Shmuyim, right? Even for Pinyin Shmuyim. That's how we know that if a horse is money, you go for Pinyin Shmuyim. So they even pin. We don't. Ah, why are you so in Potter? It's Nika if you say it's not a Shiva Nechasim. Ah, then it's Nika, it's not a Shiva Nechasim. It is just a mitzvah. You're somewhere with the mitzvah, just like here's the Tzotar, our Potter. Or either Kher Shota and Katan are all Potter, just a mitzvah. Or the Katan Potter, the Kher Shota, or the first thing to get the mission is Potter, but he wants to. But the Katan, you can't say wants to, because the Kher Shota wanted something before he became a Kher Shota, and the Katan never wants anything. Okay, what if you hold it's a Shiva? If it's a Shiva, why don't the Katan have to pay? Seems like a reasonable question. No? Who's the only person who addresses that explicitly? The Rav. What does the Rav say? Because the Rav commits to Kibbutz. Right? If the Rav commits to Kibbutz, he has to answer up the Tanim. How does he answer up the Tanim? Says the Rav, of course the Tanim have a Kibbutz, but unlike the Perish of Shulta, the Perish of Shulta, we expect them to get better or worse in normal Minigolam. We expect them to get worse. Anything can happen, right? But normally, if someone is nishtate, they're going downhill. So it's now or never, because it's never going to be better. But a katan, we expect to get better, right? The katan, that's sort of, he has no choice but to get older. A katan is going to get older. So said the Rav, we could force the katan to get tzedakah, because there's a shiva, there's a chovas mahom, but we don't, because we can just wait till they grow up. Now, that's a chiddush to the Rav, because after all, we don't always have time, sometimes the emergencies, etc. That's the Rav answer. Said the Rav, is that I have double stocking and katan kher shoteh? Everyone is chayiv in the shibud of tzedakah. Elder b'katan in permanent katan. So hold the extra link both from enemy shaved lifshin yigdal. We're not going as a katan because after all, we can go over when he's older. And as a matter of fact, that's not so crazy. Who remembers from daf heyamid beis? What's the normal rule for yisomim katanim? What if they mamish owe money? Yisomim katanim mamish. They their father left them a debt. Do they have to pay? What's the rule? Right? Ain is talking the mix, Yisomim Katanim, LMK, Ribbis Ochelas Bahem. Remember, Tosos discuss, is it Mishum Tsurari, this, that, but we do have precedent that you don't collect from Katanim. Why? Because when they get older, you'll be able to collect then. Now, I'm not saying it's exactly the same. There are specific reasons which might not be relevant here. But says the Rav that theoretically, they owe, but we wait until they, but we can, but we have the option of waiting until they grow up. Again, if the guy is the shtate, we have no other option. We have to collect. It's a shiva. But in that katan, we have an option. Just like all the other debts of a katan, we don't collect. Oh, how can we not make the katan pay his debts? I'm a star. He owes me money. I need the money. I have to pay my mortgage. Why don't you make the katan pay his debt? The answer is deal with your mortgage. And when he becomes worse, then we'll be able to deal with it. Here also, yes, he should be paying his debt, but the money's not going to come from it, so we'll deal with it. Okay, that's the chiddush of the rub. The Ketzos, I know the Ketzos has many, many different ideas here. Nirlani is daiti that they're not all meant to be the same shita, that he is trying to say different shitas and different children. Says the Ketzos here, here's an interesting idea. It's based on Hagos Maimonios. Hagos Maimonios says when it goes into the Sayam, you confiscate their bank account to pay cater tuition for their kids. Why? Because it's a mitzvah hasei of Talmud Torah, and a mitzvah hasei of Talmud Torah has a shiva nechassim. And he says, and that's like the Ketzos Mishnah says shiva nechassim. But the Ketzos said a little bit different at this point. It's not at the end. Okay, I don't know if this is still what he's saying by the end. He says a little bit. He said, why is there shiva nechassim? He says, if you remember, the Radva says there's shiva nechassim because of takanas haniyah, machzor and shalaniyah. He says, why is there a shiva nechassim? Because all mitzvahs create a shiva nechassim. Anyone remember Kiddushin, first parak? You were a little surprised when you got to the study of Shibuda Doraisa in the first parak of Kiddushin, weren't you? Because what was their example of Shibuda Doraisa, of the nature of indebtedness? What was the debt that was the Shibud? No one ever learned Kiddushin? When did you learn Kiddushin? Six years ago. Okay. You were all still in diapers. Fine.
The example there is olas yoledes, a woman who gave birth and she owed a karban ola and a karban chatas to the Beis HaMikdash, and she died. There's a shiva nechasim, shiva to the raisa, that her nechasim are meshuvah, and in your shem, they can't bring the chatas because there's no such thing as the chatas after someone dies, but they have to bring the ola. Okay, what did the Ketzos say? We see here that every mitzvah asay creates a shiva nechasim. That a mitzvah asay creates a shiva nechasim. Like that. Okay. And instead, the Ketzos, therefore, he said, yes, there's a shiva nechasim for tzedakah, but not because it's different than every mitzvah asay. Now, Gosman Manio says there's shiva nechasim for hamatorah of your kids. Hamatorah of your kids is clearly not dinim mamonos. Olas yoledes, clearly not dinim mamonos. He says, every mitzvah say is shiva nechasim. Okay, it's a chiddush to apply that here. But, so says the Ketzos, he says something a little in between. What does the Ketzos say something a little in between? Says the Ketzos, basically, it starts as a mitzvah. Not that it starts because of political philosophy, machzor and shelaniyim. No, it starts a mitzvah, and it's not shiva nechasim, machzor and shelaniyim. Different from the Rabbis, even though I put it the same. Starts as mitzvah, but every mitzvah, now again, by every mitzvah, it's a little tricky. The mitzvah of lulav does not create a shiva nechasim. You're going to have to restrict it somehow. But he, at this point, he thinks every mitzvah creates shiva nechasim. At the end, he says maybe even if every mitzvah doesn't, this one does. But every mitzvah creates a shiva nechasim because he just thinks that whatever it's a mitzvah for you to do becomes a monetary debt as well. That's the big chiddush of the Ketzos, but it's not such a big chiddush because he has precedent. The Gemara says olas ha'ot is a shiva nechasim, and the Haggos Maimonides is the bigger chiddush is more like, because olas ha'ot is a very mugder thing, you owe a certain amount, etc. The bigger chiddush is really the Haggos Maimonides. Talmud Torah for your kids is not any fixed amount of money. You could teach them yourself. You could find cheap schools. Someone teaches them for free, etc. Whatever's a mitzvah becomes a shiva nechasim. And therefore, says the Ketzos, he doesn't say this explicitly. He's going to have a much easier time with this solomon. When it comes to your reading of nechasim, the Ketzos is going to be, of course, your reading of nechasim. There's a total shiva nechasim like every other debt. When it comes to halach and dinas hayam, the Ketzos is going to be here. Of course, halach and dinas hayam, the total shiva nechasim like every other debt. When it comes to chayrus v'shota, before he was a chayrus v'shota, he was chayv in mitzvos that created shiva nechasim, and the shiva nechasim less. Of course. But when it comes to Yisomim were never chayiv in mitzvos because they've never been a mendas, and therefore he's going to have an easier time explaining Yisomim. So basically, the Ketzos is going to flip an opinion to Yisomim and everything else. He knows shiva nechasim, and not shiva nechasim is machzor and shalanim. Takanas aniyim. Shiva nechasim because of the mitzvah, and therefore since Yisomim never had a mitzvah, there's no shiva nechasim. Since everyone else either has or had a mitzvah, then there is a shibud nechasim. But so to be in between. Okay, we'll have to stop now. I'll just point out that I don't know why there's a number four in the Makor sheet. There's not a number three. That must be all sod. Talk number four in the Makor sheet. The sod is that I stay up too late with my writing Makor sheets. There's an interesting discussion there in the Ran. He quotes Machlokas. This is slightly different because he's talking about someone who made a neder tzedakah, which could have a different lumbus than just a mitzvah tzedakah. That way, it could be the mitzvah of the dark. But he quotes a fascinating Machlokas. If you have a suffic neder of tzedakah, do you say suffic ister l'chumra or suffic mamon amos mechor el harayim? Do you treat tzedakah more as mamonos or more as isurim? Which might tie into this issue, right? If it's regular mitzvah, you might say more, okay, suffik mitzvah l'chumra. If it's really bad kibbutz, you might say suffik mamon hamotz mikor el harayah, right? Like, for example, pidyon ben, suffik say hamotz mikor el harayah, even though it's a mitzvah and a shibud, because it's a kibbutz. And also, the interesting stuff in the Kovach Yurim, he says, I think his question is based on some questionable premises. But osig mitzvah patra na mitzvah is osig mitzvah patra from tzedakah. If it's a real shibud, osig mitzvah is not patra from shibud.
That also could be enough for me to hear. I'm not convinced. He said that Pasha in the Osik Mitzvah is Pasha from Tzedakah, because Prutu from Yosik, right? Where it says, you're doing a mitzvah, you're Pasha, you're Prutu and Ani, and that's what makes your Shomer Sacher if you're Shomer Beita. I'm not convinced he's right. That might only be someone who is not Omid who has to give a Pruta. Could be someone who's Omid who has to give $100. You wouldn't take it even though he's Osik Mitzvah. In any case, you could see another nafkamina in terms of just, we'll just hint at them here. What about suffix? Do you say it's a suffix isser? Or do you say it's a suffix mamon? Although again, they're discussing a neder tzedakah, which could be different one. And about osik b'mitzvah. Do you say Osik B'mitzvah is Potter, or can you say Osik B'mitzvah is Chayim and deny the Rebbe Chanan's premise? These are some other nafkaminas, but basically I think we've gotten the Yitzodos down. Potter, Mitzvah, Tzedakah, I think we have to deepen a little more in the continuation of the Gemara. We have to figure out what order we're going to take that continuation of the Gemara. But I think these are some of the Yitzodos of Tzedakah. Again, the main Hakir being the fascinating Rebbe Chayim about Sibur versus Yachid. And the main chakir in the Rishonim and the Achronim about mitzvah versus kibud, which all flows, really all the action starts in our Tosfos about Pesach and Beis. Okay, this is a very unique day that I finished the Torah sheet. Thank you. There are different directions I could take where we want to go next. But I think that what I'd like to do is, I know this is going to be a little bit weird, but I want to get into some more Yesodos of Tzedakah. So I'm going to ask you to basically continue the Gemara till the Mishnah Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. I know it's a lot of Gemara, but it's a lot of Pashut Gemaras. So continue in the Gemara till Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, with Rashi. And I want to give some more makoros about some Yesodos questions that we'll tie into these about Tzedakah that depend on a lot of those. There have been a lot of those words. So go on the Martel Mishnah that we all come out of, even like the Kiyas perhaps, look at the Sefer Achinoch, Mitzvah Samach Vav in the Shoresh Shemitzah, and the Rambam in the end of Perish Mishnah, the end of Avos Perek Gimel about our Kolofi Rova Maisa. It could be Mishnah Tesvonov, but every Avos has different numberings. And I'll give you more recording.
So when are you going to prepare
these? You already know that I'm a liar. But all my lies are the same thing. I don't lie about money. I don't lie about kavod. I only lie about how fast I'm going
to
go.
Why do you have to use the word?
What?
Why do you have to use
to give myself closer? Anyway, I think, what day is it now? Thursday? Next week, let's finish up Tzedakah. I want to talk another week about Tzedakah. Everyone will be mochel me. Okay, you're all just mochel me. Shtik and goda. And then the week after, we will start the third parak. So this way it'll be very neat. Leaning Sefer Bereishis. First parak, Leaning Sefer Shmos. We go to the third parak, right? To be coordinated with the Olam HaSal Yomim.